Good morning and welcome to Radio Rehab. Your host this morning will be Miss Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warren County Court Substance Abuse Program. Like all our talk programs, we encourage you to call in to 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. This is a brand new program that we hope you'll definitely enjoy. And now, Radio Rehab with Lisa Seif.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Radio Rehab. Please call if you have any questions. My guest this morning, Sheila Huff, said that we can ask her anything about anything. She's open and willing to talk to us. I just have to tell you very quickly, this is a woman that I admire 100%. She's made so many changes in so many people's lives and really is a shero in the Evansville-Vandenberg School Corporation and in the community. She teaches at USI. We would play basketball in the Senior Olympics together. She's got an incredible husband and kids. I mean, she works hard. She never has credited that any of this has come easy for her. It takes some work, but she's proud of who she is and what she does, and she should be. So I'm very excited to have her. Sheila Huff is the principal at Bossy High School. She considers that her team of people, her community, and an opportunity to make a change. We've talked about substance abuse together for years and how it hurts our families and our students. It affects the way we learn. So she's here to talk to us about herself today. So I don't want to take up too much time. Please feel free to call. We're going to have a great conversation with Sheila. Good morning, Sheila. Thanks for coming.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Definitely. So where were you born and raised?
Well, I was born and raised in Rockport, Indiana, which is about 35 miles from here, just on the border of Indiana and Kentucky, and went to South Spencer High School, graduated from South Spencer, which is predominantly all-white community. Most of the people that were minorities, we were related to each other.
Wow.
That's where I was born and raised.
So you graduated high school there?
Graduated high school from South Spencer in 69.
Wow, that was the year of Woodstock.
In 69, and attended Indiana State University in Terre Haute, where I received my bachelor's degree, and then stayed there until 76. Graduated with a master's in 73, and stayed there from 73 to 76 as a residence hall director. Had been a receptionist, one that plugs in, you know, when you used to have the old machines.
Switchboard.
And switchboard, did that in the residence hall, became a residence hall assistant on the floor, and then became a residence hall director.
So. God, so it's interesting. It's like you started out as a switchboard, and you still are. People are plugging into you from all different directions now, huh?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes
still an emotional switchboard.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So what made you were you driven to be an educator, a leader, as a woman, as a minority? Were drugs and alcohol part of the menu in any of that?
Well, I think when I grew up, I didn't really recognize that there was any substance abuse. And I don't think back in the 50s and 60s that you really thought of it as that way. You know, I went to family functions on both sides of my family, and people drank, and they seemed to get, as they drank, they got a little loud, and, you know, sometimes what seemed like an argument would ensue, and you just really never thought of it as alcoholism, and you never really thought of it as a disease, nor did you think of alcohol as a drug.
Right.
And
especially
so
in the 60s.
It was just pretty much accepted. And so I think that that's the culture that I grew up with. And, you know, people used alcohol. And I think not just for the African Americans, but in many cases, whites as well, that it was just part of being.
And it still is, isn't it?
And it still is. It still is.
So do you think the 60s and since the 70s and then the cocaine of the 80s, we've created a culture of fear about drugs, but alcohol's not...
Alcohol, I really don't, you know, and having taught health, and I still do out at USI. I still believe that for the most part, when people think of drugs, they want to think more in terms of the hard drugs. I'm not even sure that they really consider pot as a drug.
That's right.
But they're thinking more of cocaine, heroin, those types of things. Meth now.
Crack.
Those types of things. But to really consider alcohol as a drug, I'm not sure that we're there as a society, that we think, well, you know, people have it in their homes and it's legal. And so if it's legal, it can't possibly be a drug.
I know. And here, look at the billions we've spent in 20 years, in educating about Red Ribbon Week and alcohol and alcohol and drunk driving. Mm-hmm. But you're right. There's still this,
I don't know,
minimizing what it can do to people's lives.
Right, and it can literally ruin and has ruined millions of people's lives. From young children that I see who have in vitro at the time that they were inside their mother's womb and mom drank.
Alcohol.
And
yes.
So you've got fetal alcohol syndrome.
Jeez.
So you have learning disabilities, those types of things. All of those are things which, unfortunately, we don't recognize are preventable if we had abstained from the use of alcohol.
Mm-hmm. So when you were in college, it was part of the norm, just don't do drugs. What about after you got out of college and started teaching and became an adult? Did your views of alcohol change?
I never was. I'll be very frank with you. I never, and I know people will think this is insane, but in an era where pot was very prevalent, it was something that I never tried. And I think, I'll be very frank with you, I was just a big chicken.
Wow.
I was too afraid to try those things. I knew that I had to pay for my own education. And if I wanted away from Rockport to do better, then I had this one opportunity. And so I tried to use that opportunity. I'm not for a minute going to sit here and say that I did not drink, because I did.
Sure.
But did I drink heavily? No. No, I didn't. My first experience was in high school, my senior graduation, and I had what back then was very popular as cherry vodka and Coke.
Probably had a low tolerance.
It was only popular for about one evening because I became sick as a dog with it and never tried it again. I am a social drinker. I drink wine from time to time.
Sure.
But I recognize the problems that occur with alcohol. I see it with young people. I see it with people who don't really understand, students who are in college, the problems that are associated with that. You know, when I was in school, you started drinking on maybe Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Then it went down to you started drinking on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And now the new Friday is Thursday.
Yeah.
And so kids are beginning, young people are beginning to party on Thursdays.
Yeah.
And when I say party, I mean party. That with the drinking, there comes, you know, behavior that is not conducive to doing the right things and making the right choices.
You know, well, you had never smoked pot and did drugs because it scared you. Do you think that that's what's missing today? People aren't as afraid of what they'll lose?
Oh, I'm sure of that.
And we enable them.
I think that we oftentimes, when we recognize in a family that there is a problem, we try to protect that person. And so by protecting them, we actually enable them. And they continue to do and have the same behavior. But that behavior, I also believe, is a learned behavior.
Mm-hmm.
They see it. And I think that as young people grow up, alcoholism in the family does one of two things. It either makes people shy away from it because they see the devastation, they see what it does to a family, where maybe there is abuse that follows that, and it only occurs when somebody is drinking, or it causes them to do the same thing and continue that cycle.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So has that been frustrating for you to watch your students and their families struggle with that, but yet not take charge of it or do anything about it?
I think what's more frustrating is the denial, the unwillingness to accept the fact that alcoholism is a disease, just like cancer is or anything else, and that with proper treatment, there can be help that can be received, and we can live normal lives. But it doesn't look good.
It doesn't.
For people to know that I have a problem with alcohol. So we don't accept it.
Okay, great. Tri-State, don't go away. We're going to take just a couple-minute break, and then when we come back, we'll have more conversation with Sheila Huff. And please feel free to call, ask any questions, comments. We're here to listen and offer our experience and expertise the best we can. Thank you. We'll be back.
On the beach in Hawaii, sand in your toes, blue breeze in your face, when you're handed a board and told to start surfing because you're next in the big wave championship, and before you can say mahalo, you're in a 25-foot pipeline with the deep sea in your nose, but it feels clean and smells cleaner, so you pull a barn-walling maneuver and ride it to the beach where people take a whiff of your sparkly shine. No, you're a hang ten master and crown you world champion.
Ooh, that's sparkling wave pine salt, baby. One of five intense pine salt scents loaded with the powerful scent of clean.
Do you take pride in making a difference in the lives of others? Do you dream of what you could do if you had more resources? The makers of Pine Sol Cleaners want to partner with you to take a step toward that dream with the Powerful Difference Awards contest. Nominate yourself or another extraordinary woman at PowerfulDifference.com. Win a $10,000 donation for your organization and be featured in Ebony Magazine. Find out more at PowerfulDifference.com. No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 13 years of age or older as of March 9th. Contest ends May 11th, 2009.
Hey, you. Yeah, you listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warwick County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Welcome back to Radio Rehab with Sheila Huff, who is the proud principal at Bossie High School in Evansville, Indiana. We've just been talking about alcohol today, some drugs too, and talking to Sheila about her life and her opinions and attitudes and beliefs about drinking. So we're back after break. Please call if you have any questions. Sheila, do you see a difference with your high school students and your college students in attitudes around alcohol and drugs? Do they vocalize them to you? Because I know you're an open book. Anybody can come to you and talk about anything. Do they talk about drugs and alcohol at that level?
I think that typically the collegiate student is a little bit more open. They're not as hidden about what they do. Sometimes, much to my surprise, but I think that at the same time, there's still the belief that they can handle it. I think that what I do see is that there is more of a willingness to try to get support for friends, those types of things, and to actually ask questions. And I think that's more of maturity, a higher level of maturity than what you may find at the high school level. Because I think by the time kids get to college, they actually have seen some of the devastation that has occurred with friends or even family members because of alcohol. You know, during this time of year around graduation, it's always a very difficult time. Proms, because kids get out there and they start drinking. They don't understand what their limits are. They think that their senses are sharper when they drink. And so all of a sudden we end up hearing about a lot of accidents and deaths that occur because a student has been drinking. And those are the unfortunate parts of it.
Yeah. As an administrator, when a kid does come to you and want to drop out, or if he's missed a lot of school or been tardy a lot or has an attitude, does it go through your head, I wonder if this kid is smoking pot, or I wonder if this kid is using?
Oh, yeah. And I think that having just now gotten back into the high school realm, it takes a little bit of adjusting to actually become acclimated to the age of the students and some of the behaviors that we see. But certainly when we start looking at students who have a tendency very early in the day to be lethargic, to want to sleep in classes, you know, some of the first things that have to be asked is, you know, what are you doing the night before? Are you getting sleep without coming out and directly asking a student if they are drinking or doing drugs? So we see that. I see that. And, some of my first thoughts are there's something else that's going on here.
And I know you ask those questions.
Oh,
I expect your staff to, too, your team.
Without probing and trying to get into family issues. But
right.
My responsibility is to help ensure the success of every student that comes through those doors. And so, but success is not just equated in terms of academics. It is equated in terms of the social, emotional well-being and physical well-being of each child that enters those doors. So if one part isn't functioning well, of it's going to function.
And that's what I loved about you in the Senior Olympics when you said graduating high school is more than just ABCs. It's more than just ABCs.
Much more than that.
Wow, an educator that understands.
It has to be a holistic approach to what is going on.
What is intelligence?
There are some students that, you know, I just marvel that they have the tenacity to get up day after day come to school and do what they need to do based on the circumstances that they live under.
Mm-hmm. They may not be a straight A student.
Oh, absolutely.
But
most of us are not.
See?
Most of us are not.
See, I think that's great that you offer that kind of, you model that, hey, there's lots of strengths.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody comes with a gift.
Yeah.
It's just trying to find that gift and nurture that so that they can get the most out of it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So what keeps you getting up every morning and fighting the good fight? Because I know working with teenagers, you've got their parents, you've got their probation officers, you've got their counselors, their doctors, their medications. What keeps you getting up every day fighting that good fight?
The fact that I recognize that I have been blessed. I have a blessed life. I've been able to achieve a lot of successes, certainly not through my own volition, but through a much higher power, and having faith in that. Mm-hmm. And so my responsibility is that when I have been blessed, is to bless somebody else. And so someone who's less fortunate than me, and give them some of the expertise that I have on what it took for me to get to where I am. And so I owe that to young people. And young people come with an energy and a vitality that no matter how tired you are, they can put a smile on your face. And, you know, the misnomer that all young people are bad and that they're horrible, that's just not true.
Not at all.
They are wonderful. I enjoy messing with them. The advantage I have at Bossy is that I mess with their parents. I love their parents. Mm-hmm. I love them. And there is such a thing as tough love, and I think that kids recognize that I can be firm with them and still admire them.
Absolutely.
And love them and nurture them and want what is best for them. And so sometimes that comes in a very rough package.
But I think you're right. They know you respect them and want to listen
Absolutely.
To them. You're fair but firm.
And I've learned from them.
Yeah.
You never stop learning.
No. Well, your whole philosophy of passing it on is very in line with the programs, the 12-step programs, that if you've been given the gift, you pass it on. The saying is you have to give it away to keep it.
Absolutely. It doesn't do me any good to be blessed and just try to hoard it for myself.
So what do we still need to do? in our community to help those that are wounded and troubled with drug and alcohol problems, you think?
We need to stop being so critical.
Yeah.
We need to stop believing that we are far above those who are struggling.
Oh, somebody's calling in. Wow,
okay.
Right on that note. Thank you. Yes, hi, caller.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
How are you doing, Miss Hunt?
I'm doing fine.
That's good. I tell you what we really need.
What's that?
We need more of Miss Huss around.
You got that right.
She's good with kids. She taught my daughter in sports.
Oh, my, she's awesome.
And she made an important comment about you have to love them.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't forget that we were once them.
That's right.
We did what the saying, been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that. So some teens, they when they come to you with a problem, you have to say, well, I've been there, done that.
Absolutely.
And you've got to move forward. And sometimes you can tell a teen something that you know you've been there, and you tell them and they have to see for themselves. You know what I'm saying?
They, sure,
they
absolutely.
Know you said it, and then when they see that the problem is just happened the way you said it, they be like, "Well, I should listen." Teens don't believe in listening to older people that know what they're talking about,
mm-hmm.
and that's where they fall and make mistakes. And this Huff, I give it to you. You know how to straighten them out and keep up the good work. And we need to clone more Miss Huff.
That's right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thanks for calling, caller. You're
God,
right.
Have a nice-
we need more leaders like Miss Huff. That's for sure. Wow, when you hear people, I'm sure you hear that a lot. That's got to be humbling to you.
It is, and the one thing is that you always have to recognize where you came from,
mm-hmm.
and who you are, and that my being where I am doesn't make me any better than anybody else. It just means I've had more experiences. I've had more opportunities. That's all.
Wow.
That's all it is.
You've seen a lot of corners of the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you certainly have always come across equal. And I love what you said before the caller, that we have to treat people compassionately.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We didn't get where we are on our own.
Yeah.
Somebody helped us. Our responsibility is to stop criticizing what we see is wrong with young people and begin to help supporting young people and move them in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We can be constructive with our criticism, and all too often we aren't.
Yes.
It's very easy to sit back and talk about what kids are doing. It takes commitment and effort to help them.
Does your day as the principal of Bossy High School involve a lot of coaching? You're a good coach.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of coaching.
I'm out in the hallway doing a lot of clowning and trying to be a parent, and now as old as I am, probably a grandparent to many of the kids, but the passion is still there.
Yeah.
My desire is to help young people find the success that they want in life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take hard work on their part, but it also has to take support. You've got to be able to, when you recognize that a young person has done something well, it is important that I make that effort to let them know, I appreciate that, I admire that,
mm-hmm.
you do it, you go, you do whatever is best for you, have a dream, and pursue that dream. Don't let anybody tell you that you aren't good.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you know, when we drink or drug, that dampens all the talent.
It takes away from
at that age.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now you are happily married and you've raised two kids.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. So as a parent, what did you attribute your success to?
I had a lot of support. I had wonderful role models in my own parents. I know and knew what I wanted for my two sons. And it's one thing to talk it, but it's another thing to walk it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I wanted them to be successful, I had to show them. You cannot lead where you've never been.
Mm, good point. So you role modeled.
Oh, absolutely.
That's so key for our kids.
Being a parent means that you have to sometimes put your life on hold, the things that you want, and nurture those things that you want in your children. And so sometimes it's called sacrifice.
Mm.
That's what a parent has to do. Sacrifice some of the things they want to give their children the things that they need to be successful.
Do you have to spend a lot of time with the parents of your students, and do you get to talk to them about their own role modeling, or are you not allowed to do that?
I spend as much time. My door is always open. Yeah. I hope people recognize there isn't anything that's more important to me, excuse me, than the student and a parent.
And the parent's a student,
you know,
too.
You don't have to call and make an appointment to come and see me. If you need to see me, come on in.
Well, I'm coming.
Okay, I'll be there.
Over.
I'll be there.
But the parents are your students, too,
absolutely.
Aren't they?
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Bossy is so lucky in EVSC and Evansville to have you.
Well, I feel that I am. I have been embraced by the Bossy community, by the Evansville community, as I've gone into Bossy High School. And for that, I feel truly blessed and humbled that they have received me so well.
And you deserve that. And I have to say, just from Radio Rehab and my beliefs about things, I'm so grateful that there's an administrator there that understands the movement of drug and alcohol and how it's hurting our families and that treatment works. I know you believe
it
in
does.
Treatment. You
yes.
believe it's a disease. A lot of, like you said, a lot of people still don't. They want to judge and condemn.
Yeah,
so.
But it is. It's a disease. And treatment is available.
It is.
It is available. All you have to do is ask for it. Plenty of people and agencies here, right here in this area
Absolutely.
To help.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So any of you out there that have a kid in school you're concerned about, even if it's not at Bossy, you could call Mrs. Huff and she would turn you to the right place.
Absolutely.
Anything in closing?
That understand that you never have to go through this life alone, and that if alcohol or drugs are the partners that you choose, those are the wrong partners, that you need to put those things down, recognize that there are people who understand where you've been, where you're trying to go, and are there to support you.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Use Mrs. Huff, use us, use the resources that can help you intervene. Thank you for coming.
Well, thank you for having me.
You've got to come back.
Anytime.
Definitely.
Anytime.
Radio Rehab, if you want to hear Mrs. Huff next week on the World Wide Web, just go to www.lisasifcares.net and you can hear the interview again. Call her. Call us through the radio station. Use the resources. And until we talk to you again next week, don't forget to do the next right thing.